The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week with your host, Tomasz Fonseca, and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Hello and welcome back to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Timothy Kelton, and today we have really changed the real estate industry as a whole. And this man, I would say, has the tools. I would like to call him the Tony Stark of real estate. And you're about to find out why. And, you know, he is celebrating his birthday today. So if you're listening to this in your car and or you in front of your laptop or computer, please take the opportunity to type happy birthday in the comments. We really appreciate that. Who am I talking about today? I'm talking about Stephen Coletto. Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast.
No, I appreciate it. I'm glad I'm here. So I've listened to many episodes in the past. So yeah. I'm glad to be on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I know that a lot of people know about you, but there's some might not know your story. You might not know how you got into real estate. Can you tell us your real estate story?
Yeah, I can give you a little brief. I think a lot of that has to do with some of our success. We came in through a completely kind of different way than a normal agent. Yeah. Came into real estate later in life, so you have a little more life experience as well. But long story short, I was an engineer for 12 years for a large healthcare company. So this is back in from like 95 to like 2006. Then I started buying some investment properties with a high school buddy. He owned a bunch of properties in Arizona, started trying to buy some properties up here in Illinois. And I said, hey, if you need somebody local, I'll be the local person. I can source the deals and do that. By our fourth property, I got my real estate license just so I could make commissions off our own investments. That next year, I think it was 2007, we bought 23 homes. By 2008, we put my full-time job at our 27th home and we started rehabbing and rehabbing for a long-term hold. So we would buy, repair. At one time, we had three crews going and we got to buy a lot of property. And then the downturn was right about that time. So where properties just kept going down, and we owned 65 single family homes at that time in Illinois when that last downturn, the recession last time happened, the housing meltdown. We lasted to about 2012. And then instead of going back to be an engineer in the healthcare field, I still love real estate, changed my life, right? For a few years, it was at the heights and then got pretty low. But we had 6-7 years of doing real estate full time, and we ended up wanting to just go back. I had to go back and try to do something. So I leveraged going into, at that time, all those big institutional companies were starting to buy the properties that were in it, you know, coming out of foreclosure. So I was lucky enough to land at a large hedge fund out of New York, going to buy a couple thousand properties in Chicago. Nowadays, we know there's companies that own 80,000 homes. But back then, somebody who managed 65 homes, that was a lot. So my experience took me a lot farther than it would today. Ended up getting in with one of those firms, helped them with about 250 homes. Long story short, we went on to, about a year later, became vice president of a really large institutional client, ran a team of 46 people in three states, managed about 4,900 single family homes. I got to see the systems of a really large institutional client buying homes, right? So I think while I was there, we went from like 27,000 to 37,000. And now that company owns over 50. One more in the corporate world, I ended up going to a larger company, one of the largest in the United States, and managed a team there. And during this whole process, you got to see things that the average agents would never be able to see, right? So one of the companies I was at, we rented 1,253 homes in 1 year. I did all the pricing. I worked with all the real estate agents on negotiating. I had a team of six assistants who would take all the Zillow, Trulia calls, because on rentals, they all go to your team. They don't sell them off to agents. And then that team was also our MLS team. So we would have those folks enter them on the MLS, and we would have hundreds of properties on the market at the same time. So yeah, and that's how we got to rent 1,253. So that's part of that background. Then about 2017, I'm a 47-year-old man today. I'm 54. I was 47, and everyone just kept telling me, like, you should, you know, you're not meant for the corporate world. And I wasn't. But why aren't you just running a mega team? Why don't you just, and it helped, you know, benefits, family, new baby on the way, all that stuff. You just, it wasn't the time. But in 2017, I had an opportunity to start a new brokerage with a small company coming to Illinois, and it gave me enough of a salary insurance to make that jump. So I had just started, like, my first listing with the public was 2017. Even though I had my license 8-9 years earlier, I only used it for us. Couldn't sell regular real estate, never went on a listing appointment type of thing. But when you start, when you come out as a 47-year-old person, seeing the stuff I saw, I never gravitated towards what was normal, what the status quo was. It just wasn't that I was anti-status quo. The only thing I knew was doing big volume. So when I came out and we started trying to figure out how I was going to set up as an agent, it was a struggle because everyone's teaching you to go do all the traditional stuff. And it just didn't feel natural to me. In fact, I still have never had a database where I've ever sent emails, asked a friend or family to use me. They know I'm an agent. They'll reach out, but I don't do that. I just never got comfortable asking friends or family. I always gravitated towards the people I didn't know. So part of that was just the different approach. And then we learned the things that, like, sometimes we know things or we learn things that just other people have, you know, didn't know. At that time, I quit my job. I knew I wanted to be a top agent and I knew I had to succeed because I just quit my corporate job. And I knew there was a guy out of Texas at that time selling 4,700 homes in the Guinness Book of World Records in Texas, Ben Cavallaro. And I think last year he sold 6,400. But when this was in 2017, I think it was at 4,600 and the average agent's doing 10. And I just, like, how can there be such a difference? And then when he researched him, he had a niche. He was into building. He only had 3 assistants. He leveraged technology. He didn't have a team of 150 people and he was figuring it out. So based on my background, knowing what somebody had done before me, it just was the natural progression. So first year we sold 16 houses because I was doing everything the normal way. Next year we landed some bigger clients because I started targeting those bigger clients, which was part of my background. First full year we sold 119. The next year after that, 297. 50 of those were all from an large institutional client, number 10 agent. And that's part started putting me on the road. I was number 10 agent in Real Trends at that time, listed as the number 1 REMAX agent in Real Trends in 2019. And then the pandemic hit and put a lot of pressure on that current business model I had of working with large institutional clients. But part of my plan was to start going out and expanding into other markets. And I had signed an agreement. I do a lot of B2B strategic partnerships with folks. That's how we're able to do everything we do without all the traditional spending marketing dollars, door knocking, cold calling. Everything's a strategic partnership. And we strategically partnered with a broker right before the pandemic. And I honestly thought that we were going virtual right before the pandemic with this relationship because I was going to operate in all these states. And then when the pandemic happened, I thought, everyone was going to go virtual now. Everybody's going to know it works. We're going to all, you know, go from Blockbuster to Netflix because we're forced to. And I thought, here we go. I had this great idea. I was going to implement this. I started implementing it. But what happened is I got licensed in like 8 more states during the pandemic. I just kept getting my license in other states because I had agreed to open up a brokerage for, right, a startup company, a disruptor, basically. And that was my plan, to strategically partner to help. And when the pandemic ended, everybody just went back to doing everything they do. I did. I've never gone back. So, which is kind of a crazy story because I really don't, I haven't been to a house buy or sell in 3 years.
And this is something that I think a lot of agents know that you do. Why do you think, when, you know, the pandemic ended, people never went back and tried to study the methods that you were using, the strategies that you were using. Why do you think agents were more comfortable just going back to the traditional way of things?
I wish I knew. Yeah. I'm engineer, maybe it's engineer, right?
Yeah.
Engineering degree and 12 years of engineering. Maybe it's just the way I process things, right? But to me, I want to know what the problem is and I want to fix the problem. Mm. You know, because I'm an engineer. That's what you want to do. Even before I was an engineer, I was a tech for healthcare companies and different things in my early years, right? Where you would travel and fix things. So you always wanted to diagnose what the problem is and then fix it. So to me, that's natural. I still today don't know why agents don't really go to try to help the consumer with their problem instead of selling what they think the consumer wants or needs. So I am a big, huge strategist, visionary type with this. I have studied consumer behavior since the day I started in 2017. I don't know where you're at in your stage, but like, do you know what the NAR danger report is? The NAR danger report in 2015 came out.
Oh no, please do tell us.
Yeah, that was a big, NAR danger report was like the biggest study at that time that the National Association of Realtors studied with the biggest threats to the industry. Mm. I came out in 2017. I wanted to study what the consumer needed, but then found this danger report that had been pulled off the internet. People didn't want to talk about it anymore. And it had in there the biggest threats. And when it came out, it kind of hurt the industry because the biggest number one threat that came out was that agents were not professional enough, not experienced enough. It came out against them. They didn't know that was what was going to happen. But it gave you a list of the top 10 things that could happen and to risk the agent. And it did this for the MLS, different steps, right, in the process. But for the agent, they gave the top 10 threats. One of them was we need more experienced agents. One of them, commissions were coming down. One of them was like institutional buyers are going to buy thousands of homes. Well, back then I created, because I'm a business kind of more strategist, I created a business model to meet the needs in that danger report. Regard, because to me, that was my market research without market researching it. So that's basically what we did. I'm very much like I operate and still to this day, I created it back in October 2017 of separate model that puts the consumer. Back then it was me in the middle. Now it's the consumer in the middle. Of kind of the disruption just to offer more options and better pricing all the time. Whatever they want. Some people don't mind paying. Some people want something different. Instead of me sending them down the road, we have options. Some people are like, you're a discount broker. I hate that. I'm not a discount broker because we do full. I own the 3D Matterport company that I used to do that with. I don't work the same way anymore. But like when we did, I own that. Like I bought the camera. Like, we did everything full service. Me, my wife, or my daughter, or somebody would go in there and do it. When we started, when we were doing those 290 homes that year, we were running around. I mean, we're full service, but also offer limited service. We offer a variety of things because we are not going to limit. As agents, we're able to do all of this. So yeah, it's a different mindset. It's 100. Now I'm 100% focused on the consumer. You know, we hear things like the big lawsuit that everyone's talking about. I don't think there's a conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy. I don't think people sat in a room, but I know enough because I talked to enough clients to know that the consumer thinks there's a problem. Because when they find us or talk to us and we have all these options, they'll be like, I've never heard of anyone doing this. This is, you know, so we're still struggling to move this industry forward and I'm trying. I am literally trying to push this thing forward, but it is tough.
There's a lot of pushback.
There is a lot of pushback. At times I feel like I'm Uber and right. Cause the people who get the maddest are the agents. The consumer loves them. Consumers have been waiting for this for years, but we get a lot of kickback from agents. That's why I avoid getting on podcasts. Cause I'm not sure I can, I'm sometimes not sure I can help the traditional agent unless they have more of an open mind and they're free to at least listen. Yeah, because it's different. Because if you listen to the consumer, they'll tell you what they want. And it's not always, I want to get the most money at the shortest amount of time and the highest price for you. That's everyone wants that. If you ask them, that's what they want. But if you listen close, sometimes there's an underlying problem that you got to solve, right? Last time I sold my property, sold in 3 days, that paid my agent $15,000, and I'm never doing that again. That's their problem. And you're still trying to sell them and persuade them to do something different, where we're just going to inform them. We're like, okay, we got these options there for you. And that's it. There's really no selling. It's just solving their problem, giving them options. And we spend more time trying to add more tools to our arsenal, more options for folks, than we do trying to generate leads. A lot of leads out there. I think they said last year there's 200 million leads, real estate leads, and there's only 4 million homes sold. Problem in with real estate in the US is not leads. Problem is converting the leads.
Yeah.
Everyone else is focused on 1% conversion, and I'm going to the 99% of the people who don't convert and ask them, why aren't you using me? Why aren't you using this? What do you need? Like, there's something stopping them. We know 60% of them aren't ready to buy, but there's people ready to buy and they're just not finding the right solutions. So, but I'll let you ask some questions because I can go on forever.
And look, we definitely want to hear and know more about this. So let's say there's an agent out there and they, look, I want to follow in your footsteps. What steps should they take? And how can they get started? How can they shift from the traditional route to the more innovative route that you have taken?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I can give some tips for sure. And then part of it that you won't even know because we're technically launching it today, but we have, which had nothing to timing of everything, but we've been working on it for 6 months. We have something that's going to be an agent accelerator, so called On Agent. You'll see it hit later today on LinkedIn. But we're opening up in Chicago first, and then we're opening up like a broker agnostic way of going out and helping agents try to make the shift to be more of a trusted advisor than the salesman. And people sooner or later can go to onagent.com and do that. We're just releasing that as literally as we speak. I've been working on that for months. But in general, I honestly feel that agents, if you're open-minded and you want to be more on the leading edge, some of it to me is common sense. We live in a technology-driven world. Do we think the world is going more towards Blockbuster, which doesn't exist anymore, or Netflix, right? We always hear that comparison. You just know we're heading towards Netflix, regardless of what you believe. Yeah. We're either there or we're heading there. So to me, you got to look, what does it look like 5 years into the future? Maybe because of the lawsuit, you got to look 2 years into the future. Maybe it's closer than we think. And you have to be able to provide those options, right? Like, this has happened in every license industry. If you think about it, travel agencies, right? Insurance, stockbrokers, like this has already happened. I used to go into travel agencies. They used to be on every corner. I live in Illinois. They used to be everywhere. And then 25 years ago, I don't even know, maybe 30 years ago, you used Expedia, and I haven't used Expedia ever. So I've never walked into another travel agency ever. Because once you know that exists and it's easier, and I'm okay searching out my own travel, then that's my option, right? If I wasn't okay and I wanted somebody to give me the signature service, I'd go into a travel agent. Same thing, you need that choice so bad to the point that they're suing us. They're suing the associations we work for because they want choice so bad. Some of us have started giving them the choice back in 2017 and we give them those options. But for a new agent, I would say, to me, it starts with strategy. It doesn't start with tactics. All the coaches and different things are still teaching tactics. You go on Facebook and there'll be somebody struggling and somebody will tell them to go more, knock double the doors, make double the calls. And you're like, this is not what the consumer wants. They don't want more calls. They don't want more emails. They don't want any of this. They just want options, right? So I would start with your strategy. Like when we started, I got into Blue Ocean Strategy was a book, shows you how to separate yourself from the competition, stand out. Actual framework, you can go through the book and if you read that book, you'd understand how kind of our brain operates. But one of the newer ways, our newer books that might be more modern, because that one's a little old, this just to give people a resource to go to would be, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought now. Alex Hormozi has a book and in his subject line, it says how to make an offer so good that people would feel stupid to say no. It's some kind of line like that. But just take that, just that subject line. If all you did is wake up every day, like we do, try to increase the offer to your consumer. You're not worried about leads. You're not worried about this. You're not worried about your Facebook budgets. You're not, every day, you're just trying to increase the offer to your consumer that they would feel stupid to say no. You just shouldn't have to say more. You're going to have an advantage over the competition. But we're not trying to eliminate the competition. We're not trying to eliminate realtors. It's just giving them more options. And I think that's the difference. We have a lot of discount brokers. We have a lot of flat fee brokers. We helped one client last year sell 208 homes in 4 months because we met their need. They needed to sell a lot of homes. I was in 5 different states and could meet that need because the last thing they wanted was to work with 20 different real estate agents in 20 markets. We cover 70 markets, 12 states, 44 MLSs right now, and growing because we're still growing. We can meet their need, but that had to be their need, right? They didn't have a need for a local agent. They had a need. Their need was we need to get these things on the market as quick as possible. And we've done that.
Yeah.
Our record in one day is 71 listings in a day. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a different system, right? It's a different mindset. And something like that comes from like a cash buyer in a big city who's already a brokerage. They can't even list that many houses in a day, but we'll have the systems, the teams, the support to do that. And that's all through strategic partnerships. Like I don't own any of these brokerages. Like I'm a broker for 5 different brokers right now. Like I'm a broker for 5 different companies. Yeah. So it's not tied to a brand. It's not tied to just one brand. I go wherever strategically it makes sense for me to go.
I believe it's just time. We don't have enough time to cover this because
no,
people don't understand how deep this goes. Lastly, do you think that for most people, this is like the fear of the change? Because it's like whenever change comes, right? Something is being phased out and you have something else coming in. Like the era when we went from riding on horses, horse and carriage to going to cars. Do you feel like some real estate agents feel that's how it would be with their careers? Like there really won't be a need, to have that same system that you've been having this whole time. Do you think that's where it comes from?
I think so. But I don't know why people would have that other than if you talk to the consumer or look at historical things like travel agencies, insurance companies, stock brokers, right? I used to go to Edward Jones down the street in a little town over here. And now, right now, my son, 23 years old, has got me a free Robinhood account, right? Like we've just changed. We've evolved this industry, in my opinion, and people will say what they have. It's not evolved. It's stuck. And I feel like there's companies that have evolved. There's companies that have changed the game. Those are out there. They're happening. More of them are happening. BXP is a big one that's happening, right? That they changed that game that way. But that's agent-centric. There's a lot of agent-centric companies now. There's not a lot of agents doing consumer-centric to help the consumer. So that's the difference, right? It's like a separate business model where I'm focused 100% on the consumer. I'm consumer-driven. I'm not telling them what I do. I'm listening to what they want, and then we're going to try to provide that. And if that's a big company and they want to sell 500 homes and they want us to tie into their Salesforce system and we're going to do whatever we need to do to meet that need, to better meet the needs of that consumer, which might be a big company. Now, I work with a lot more companies, B2B, than I do consumers now. But I started off as a travel agent doing everything, running around like mad. I didn't even hire my first assistant until we had 76 closings in a year. Then I finally hired. I was still doing my dot loop and everything. Yeah. 2018, I was still doing my dot loop, doing them all. So all my listings.
All right. Okay. Look, if you got this far and at this point, you just want to know and you thirsty or you hungry for more information. Well, I'll say that'll be a perfect opportunity to check out what Stephen is doing. So Stephen, how can people get to know more about what you're doing? How can people find you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I didn't even think about this, but we just set it up because we're launching today. I just set up a free community on school like 4 days ago. So yeah, the best place to go would be rethink.realestate. That's the website. Go to rethink.realestate. It's a free community where you'll see videos. You might see clips from this. We're trying to help get people there Some people we partner with, other ones are just free community. It can be from any brokerage. Yeah. Trying to help make that change, kind of give back a little bit to required to move brokerages, any of that. So yeah, but rethink.realestate.
Rethink.realestate. So you now know where to get this information. Rethink.
It's only like 3 days old.
It's only 3 days old.
Yeah.
All right. So look, I think if you are at home thinking to yourself, hey, I definitely want to join this movement. I want to join this shift. You know exactly what you need to do. We're going to make sure that we also have Stephen's details in the description. So you can definitely reach out to him if you need a bit more information or if you just need a bit of advice navigating through your real estate career. Steve, I know that time is just not on our side, but hopefully we can get you again so you can just tell us a bit more. Stephen,
It's overwhelming to a lot. It'll be overwhelming to a lot. If people do want to reach out on LinkedIn, I'm a huge LinkedIn person on there almost all day long.
Hey, thanks. Look, I know it can definitely be overwhelming because if you try to get an engineer, try to get a scientist to explain something to you, it takes some time. You need two sessions of that. You're like, okay, all right, let's go again. This time in English.
Yeah, my flavor is not for everybody, but sooner or later, it's funny because if I get people on an actual Zoom call or something, I can share my screen and actually show you like a model that I have, like the whole graphs and charts. Yeah. Then it makes a lot more sense. But when I'm just rambling and a mad scientist, it's sometimes a struggle for people to understand. So,
all right, yay. Look, I believe that we definitely going to understand, and I think this is the first step to it. Thank you so much for taking the time on your birthday. I feel so honored that, you know, it's my birthday, but I'm going to sit down with Tim and have this conversation. I think I appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you were listening to this episode, thank you so much. And if you think this might add value to a friend, to someone that you know that's trying to get into real estate, then do them a favor. Share. Hit the share button and share it with your friend. Share it with a couple of friends. Share it with some strangers. They're going to love you after that. It's been Timothy Gaetano and Stephen Coleno. Until we meet again, take care.